Good morning. Welcome to What's Up Boone County. I appreciate you joining us this, I guess it's the third weekend in October. It's a fun time of the year, as we usually say. As fall is in the air, we've had a lot of rain here recently, which I'm getting a little tired of. And I'm sure the farmers are tired of it because they're trying to get their crops harvested. They had a good run for a while, but it's been wet for the last week or 10 days, so that puts them behind the eight ball. But high school football is starting to wind down. The section will be coming around the corner before long. I know Lebanon and Western Boone are playing, I think, next week in their final home game for Western Boone this year. It'll be fun to see how they do in the tournament. And IU and Purdue are back in action after having been off for a week. And we won't talk about the Colts after they blew that game on Monday night. I don't normally watch those games, but I did watch that one, and I thought the Colts had a great chance to win, and then they just let it slip away in the last quarter, which is kind of the way it's been. But, again, I do appreciate you joining us. This week, our guests on What's Up Boone County, our guest is Dick Stevens, who, along with his wife, Susie, are the founders of the Malawi Project. Dick and Susie are new residents in Lebanon, and I thought it would be fun to have them come in and have Dick come in and talk about this project and what it does and how they got involved in it. So, Dick, thanks for being our guest this week on What's Up Boone County.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me.
You're welcome. Tell our listeners how you ended up in Lebanon.
Most responsible person was Jim Messenger, who is a member of our board of directors for the Malawi Project. Him and his wife, Rayanne, spent about 6 months working to persuade us to move from Indianapolis to Lebanon, telling us that Boone County was the right place for us to live and to have volunteers working with us. And he's been very definitely right. It's a great place. We really enjoy being here.
How long have you been involved in the Malawi Project?
Since July of 1993.
So it's going on almost 30 years now, isn't it?
Almost 30 years, yes.
Before being involved in this volunteer effort, what did you do for a living?
Well, I've actually done it all my life, and that's been in print marketing. So I had a marketing firm and did print all over the state of Indiana, colleges, universities, business, tourism.
Okay, and how about Susie? What'd she do for a living?
Susie's been a registered nurse her entire life and worked all the way up until just a few years ago on that, as well as working on the Malawi work. We've been involved in that through much of our career, so the two overlapped.
Before deciding to move to Lebanon, where were you and Susie living?
We were on the northeast side of Indianapolis for 38 years.
38. So it's a big change for you to move from the northeast side of Indianapolis to Lebanon. You had retired from your normal day job by the time you moved to Lebanon. How long did you say you've been here?
Been here since last November.
So just almost a year now that you've been in Lebanon. And how did you make Jim's acquaintance, Jim Messenger? How did you come to know him?
Jim attends church, same church that we do, and we became familiar and friends with that, and I worked for about 2 or 3 years to persuade Jim to be on our board, and he's been one of our greatest assets in the last 4 years since he joined us.
Well, he's a good fellow, and if you get him on your team, you've got somebody who will be a big help to your organization. Tell our listeners what the Malawi Project is, and I've got a number of questions about where it is and what you're trying to do.
Well, the Malawi Project is a humanitarian effort, faith-based, to help the people of one of the poorest nations in the world, Malawi, on the east-central portion of the African continent. And we work in the area of agriculture, medical, ministry, and mobility, and in some restoration of forestry. So we've got a number of programs going on in that country now after the number of years.
Sure. How big a country is Malawi?
Malawi is just about halfway between the size of Indiana and Illinois, or about the size of Pennsylvania or Portugal, has nearly 20 million people.
20 million people in the state, roughly the size of Pennsylvania.
Yes.
I don't know how many people are in the Pennsylvania geography, although it's got a couple of pretty big cities with Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. So it's a fairly urbanized state, although there's a lot of land in the middle that's kind of rural or agricultural, I suppose. So what's the principal industries in Malawi?
There are very few industries in Malawi. The average person in Malawi has a small family farm plot, and 85% of the population survives off of that farm plot. So there's about a 50% unemployment. It, according to many statistics, is the poorest nation on earth.
Well, that's saying something.
They're still living in mud hut, thatched roof villages like they did 1,000 years ago.
And what is the biggest city in Malawi? Is there a capital?
Biggest city is Lilongwe, which is the capital, and that's about a 1 million person population.
So it's maybe a little bit smaller than Indianapolis, I suppose.
Yes.
So how'd you learn about this, about Malawi, and come up with the idea to promote the support of that, the people of that country?
I was on the mission committee for the North Central Church in Indianapolis, and they had been supporting a minister for about 30 years. And we had the opportunity in 1993 to travel to Malawi, and on that very first trip, we fell in love with the people there and decided that we were going to spend the rest of our life helping that country.
Well, I'm sure you're glad that you made that trip, and that it's really given your life a lot of meaning since then, has it not?
Very definitely so.
So how do you start something like this? You want to help the people of Malawi. You've been there. What do you go about doing to make this a reality?
Well, when we came back, I was actually an author, so I was writing religious material, and we started publishing and sending it over. Susie, as a nurse, started gathering up used medical supplies, things that they didn't need any longer. We sent them over, and then we started taking them with us on trips, taking other people with us. And after about 3 years, we sent our first 40-foot container, and we have now sent around $270 million in aid to 600 Malawi hospitals and 1,000 schools.
So there are 600 hospitals in Malawi.
Yes.
And about 1,000 schools, excuse me. Some are probably in the cities, and some are probably pretty remote, are they not?
Much of it's remote, much of it's rural, because the cities, there's only three cities of any size, with Lilongwe the biggest. So most of that country is still a rural country in villages.
If the country is that poor economically, there's probably not a lot of government assistance, is there, for schools and hospitals?
The government's very poor, and they run in the red every year. They're dependent on outside aid. They're a landlocked country, and they've never been in a war with their neighbors, and they don't fight with each other, so they don't get much world press. So they're not a squeaky wheel for the world to try to support, so everybody seems to just go right on by.
Yeah. How about the language barriers? How's that work out for you?
Because the British were there, the official language of the country is English. And so all of business, commerce, government, and medicine is all in English. So we don't have a problem.
So those people learn that language as growing up, but from their parents and from the schools they attend?
Yes. Yes. English is the language in the schools.
Does the United States government support Malawi in any way? Do they provide foreign aid or relief in some form or another?
USAID does a sizable amount of assistance to the nation of Malawi, but not nearly what it needs.
Okay. You're listening to What's Up Boone County this third week. I think it's the third weekend. When the first of the month falls on a weekend, I get sometimes confused. I think it's the third, pretty sure. Talking with Dick Stevens, along with his wife Susie, are the founders and the principal operators of the Malawi Project. And they've now moved to Lebanon, or making Lebanon their home. I think I asked you about getting started.
And each year she took more and more medical supplies, and that part of it started growing. And then she made a statement on one occasion before coming back, "Let's build a hospital." And the three of us in the room almost fell off of our chairs, because none of us had any expertise in that. But within a year, we opened the first wing of a 5-building, 110-bed medical complex. So Susie's the one that spearheaded the interest and got everybody excited about really enlarging the program.
Well, those people who are dirt poor and marginally educated, I suppose, although we haven't talked about the details of that, the medical care, it's got to be pretty rudimentary. I mean, they're not doing cosmetic surgery over there, I wouldn't suspect, but they've got the common ailments. They need help with those kind of problems, don't they?
They have almost every problem that we have and some more too, especially with malaria. And many people, to get medical care, have to fly to South Africa, which is a three-hour plane flight. So most people in the country don't survive a serious illness.
Sure. So tell me about the climate in Malawi. How does it compare to what we have in the United States?
Well, we're on the opposite side of the world.
So your southern hemisphere.
Yes, we're in the southern hemisphere. So our summer is their winter. So they're now coming into their summer. Their planting season will start next month. Central region of the country in the dry season, which is our May, June, July, and August, will be about 45 at night and 70 during the day. So it's near perfect weather. When it goes up during the rainy season, it'll go up to about 60 or 70 at night and 80 or 85 during the day. So that's still comfortable. So we can go over there about any time of the year and be very comfortable with that climate.
Good. What are the crops? What do they mainly grow over there?
Maize is the main crop, or corn, and they grow cotton and ground nuts, tobacco, and coffee and tea. They're world renowned for their quality of tea.
Do they sell that tea worldwide, or does it pretty much stay there?
No, it goes on the world market. The tea and coffee especially are two of their five largest exports.
Okay. So when you go over there, I'm curious about how you get there. What's the route you typically take?
It takes forever to get there. We fly from here to Chicago. We get on Ethiopian Airlines. We fly nonstop from Chicago to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. 4 hours later, we catch a 3.5 or 4 hour flight down to Malawi.
So Ethiopia is in the northern part of Africa,
yes,
is it not?
They're one of the major entrances into the continent now by airline.
Okay, so then you take a smaller plane down to Malawi.
Yes.
And land there in the major city, I suppose. Yes. Is that where you kind of hang out and spend your time, or do you go to a different location in the rural areas, or do you move around a lot?
We move around a lot because we've got work all over the country. We got some major agricultural programs that call on us to go around all over the country.
Sure. Well, we're going to continue our conversation with Dick Stevens about his time in Malawi and what the Malawi Project does over there and how it works. We'll be back in a minute after we take a moment to hear from our sponsors. We're back with What's Up Boone County this third weekend in October 2021, talking with Dick Stevens, who along with his wife are the founders and principals of the Malawi Project, and they live here in Lebanon, having made it their home last November, plan to stay here for the future, and are happy here. So what's it cost for a plane ticket to fly from here to Malawi?
During the rainy season is the time the easiest to go because of the rains.
Because nobody wants to go there then? Is that what it is?
They don't want to go there during the rains. So you can get there for about $1,800 to $2,000. And it's around $2,400 for a ticket.
And that's a coach ticket. That's not first class.
Oh, I can assure you that's a coach ticket, yes.
Yeah, we're not traveling first class to Malawi.
No.
You need the money for other uses, I know. Are there many American travelers that go to Malawi, or are you pretty much the only American you'll see on the flights?
Well, we were in the early years, we were the only ones. Ethiopian Air did not come in, and we had to go to Washington or Atlanta and fly South African Air, and they only had one flight about every other day. It now has increased considerably with Americans going to the continent, so we see more Americans in Malawi now than ever before.
How do you stay up on the news back home when you're in Malawi for weeks at a time?
We have a little bit better now with internet communication, but in the early years we had no communication and no phone calls back.
So currently, can you call back on the phone?
Yes, we can call back on the phone every day, and we're on the internet doing work every day and every night.
So the internet has provided a real improvement in your ability to communicate, not only with people back home, but for people there in the country that you're working with.
Yes, I'll have email communication 6 or 8 times a day now, back and forth between us and the workers in Malawi.
You know, I can't remember what it was like before we had email in this country. It hadn't been all that long ago that we did it.
Now, in the first years when we went over there to make a phone call, it took 2 hours to get it established, and then you lose the connection before you could finish.
So they have landlines? They have wire communication? Or is it all wireless?
It's almost all wireless now.
Okay. Yeah. And so the sorts of things you do for these people, give us an example of what you spend your efforts and time doing.
Well, the ideal thing that has taken place is that a group of Malawians have stepped up and formed what's called Action for Progress, and they interface with us that the programs that we want to put in place in that country work through them. So we're able to kind of stand and look over their shoulder as they carry out those programs. And in agriculture, we have worked to help them develop independence. So we have drip irrigation programs. We get water pumps for them. But the big one has been what's called the Joseph Project. And we build big warehouses where they can store the grain. 30% of all the crops in Malawi are lost in those bamboo structures behind their village homes. If you can eliminate that 30% on the African continent and save that grain, they're independent in food production.
So when you say it's lost, how is it lost?
Lost because of insects, rodents, decay, because it rains into those bins. So you put that corn in there and it fills up and you get mold and all kinds of destructive elements.
Sure.
So we're actually building concrete floor buildings with tin roofs, and they make all the bricks. Build the buildings, and for about $5,000, we can erect a building that a couple thousand people can become independent in their food production, raising their own food instead of us sending it to them.
Sure. So they can grow the crops. What kind of equipment do they have for harvesting and planting and that sort of thing?
They still do it with a hand hoe like they did 500 years ago. So those family plots are just little 5 or 6 rows, 100 feet long, and they cultivate all of it by hand.
They take good care of that little strip of land, don't they?
Oh, they surely do.
What about the religion over there? What's the religions?
About 85% of the nation is Christian professing. So we have one of the most receptive areas to work. We have about a 10% Muslim population, but the Muslims and the Christians get along with each other, and we work together on some of the projects to help the people.
How safe is it over there, do you think?
I would much rather, and have in the past at times, been comfortable with my wife going to Malawi to work when I couldn't go, and I would not send her downtown in most of our cities alone. But I have no fear sending her to Malawi alone.
Okay, so it's people are pretty respectful of the law and of other persons' rights, correct?
Very much so. And tribal authority has been very receptive because the amount of aid we send over, tribal authority, which is the ancient system of government that is in the rural areas, has been very supportive and very defensive of protecting us and the work we do.
Well, that's good to know. You say occasionally you'll take people from here with you. What do they do when they get over there?
It depends on their profession. If it's a school teacher, we have the ability to put a school teacher in a school the day after we get there. Medical people can work in the hospitals when they go. We've had auto mechanics. We've had people in all kinds of professions, and we can always find a job for them over there.
Has Jim Messenger been?
Jim Messenger's been and is planning on going again next year, both he and his wife.
So what do they do when they get over there?
Jim went over on his first trip, and they helped evaluate what the board of directors would be doing and some of the new programs that we're doing. He was able to get a hands-on realization of what it was like rather than just reading the material. Jim now has been in the villages and met people and worked with our people with Action for Progress, so he's now has a first-name basis with the people we're working with.
And you have vehicle transportation over there for you to get around the country to make the trips that you need to visits you need to make to the various locations?
We've been able to purchase vehicles for Action for Progress, and There's always somebody, whether it's in the government or outside the government, that's ready and willing to help us get around the country.
Well, and people are probably willing to support your efforts, so they want to see this succeed, don't they?
Very much so. It's life and death there. It's not just a project to them. It's the difference between life and death for many people.
So you've got diseases that you need to deal with and help people avoid, like inoculations and so forth. I assume that's a big part of what you try to get done for the people of that country.
If I said to you one of the most important things in that country is a Band-Aid or a piece of gauze, some burn ointment, some cleaning material for a floor in a rural hospital, it's the very basics, all the way from the bottom to the top, they don't have. So we take everything over all the way up the line in every one of those categories because you're in the poorest place in the world. Kids don't have pencils or paper to write their school assignments on.
And, you know, there's so much waste in our country. People throw away things that you could use for those people's benefit. So you've got to have the capacity to haul that stuff over there, don't you? Mm-hmm. Or ship it over there.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to know what they can use. Do you have people in this country that help you identify those items and locate and fulfill those orders?
We actually have support from all over the United States, Canada, the Netherlands, and Germany, with support from all those countries to get supplies over there. But here in Lebanon, we've got a group already that's quite a sizable group of volunteers. We've got a group with the Parks Department that comes out and helps us load trailers. John Messenger, Jim's brother, has been tremendously instrumental in helping us find storage space to put that stuff in till we send trailers out, and then helping us get them out. So it's been just ideal.
Where do you store the stuff here before it's accumulated and shipped over?
Well, you remember the old car dealership downtown that was torn down late last year.
The old Kincaid Auto.
The old Kincaid Auto. They allowed us to use that for a period of time, and when it was torn down, there's now an old building down by the Abner Longley Park, and they've allowed us to use that all summer. So we can stage about 2.5 40-foot shipping containers in there before we fill the trailer and send it.
And how long does it take to get the trailer to Malawi from Lebanon?
Takes about 3 to 4 months.
3 to 4 months,
yes.
Huh? So it's a monumental effort to plan for something like that, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes.
And, you know, you've got from, you know, me being a lawyer, I think about some of the operational aspects of it. You've got to have insurance for the cargo that you're shipping.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got employees or volunteers that you've got to deal with and handle that correctly, I assume?
We actually have no employees.
No employees. It's
all volunteers. We do all this program with all volunteers on this side. There's two employees on the Malawi side with Action for Progress, but the Malawi Project has never had a paid employee.
Okay. So these people all donate their time. You and your wife, of course, do the same thing.
Yes.
Do you feel good about the future of the organization when you and your wife are not able to go any longer?
We've got a 7-member board, and we've worked meticulously for the last 2 years to cross-train and prepare people to carry it on, and we're confident at this point that it will go on and probably be bigger than it's been during our time with it.
Is there anybody else here from Lebanon that's actively involved in the organization you'd like to mention?
Doug and Sheila McDonald. With the Church of Christ, and used to have the Naughty Pine restaurant.
Yes.
They've been involved in it all the way back to the beginning. Marvin Hayden and his wife have been involved.
From Thorntown area.
From over in the Thorntown area, yes. So there's a number of people here that have been very involved in it all the way back through the years.
And I assume it's a tax-exempt organization, so
yes,
that people who want to make a contribution can get a tax deduction.
Yes, they can.
And there's information that you've provided me, excuse me, that's available online. Assume you've got a website. What is that website address?
And go to www.malawiproject, that's M-A-L-A-W-I, project.org.
That'll give you the access to the information. I see on the back page of your most recent publication, you got Sheila McDonald was the treasurer, or may still be, and Jim Messenger's on the board. Then you've got your wife as the medical director, and you're on the board, and you've got information about your projects and your latest developments and news. You've got 1,800 pictures on the website, which provides information about the needs and the progress being made. I assume these people are tremendously appreciative of what you do, aren't they?
We actually, one of the things that's been beautiful is we became acquainted with the first lady of the nation of Malawi, Cecilia Kadzimira. And about 8 years ago, she made available a room in her home for Susie and I. Anytime we're over there, we stay with the first lady of the nation. And to us, that's sort of symbolic of what the reception that we've received there. And Susie has become friends with the fourth president, who was a female, and also with the third first lady. So it's going all the way up to the presidential palace.
And how are the leaders of that country selected?
By popular election. They vote a president in. The people in the villages, by direct vote for the president. He can have 2 5-year terms, and he can't run again at the end of 10 years.
10 years will get him done, huh? Or
yep.
Him or her.
Yep. So it's a election same as ours, except they don't have the college.
College, the Electoral College.
Yes.
Do most of the people vote over there?
Yes, they have good turnout, because that's a wonderful thing. They're just in the second generation away from colonial control. So freedom is quite significant to them.
Sure.
Yes.
Well, Dick, if there's listeners to the show, or business leaders or others who would like to support the organization, how do they go about making a contribution? How do they get a hold of you?
They can go through that website. There's a contribution area linked on there. There's a place where they can communicate with us through info@ Malawi Project by email, or they can contact me directly, dick@malawiproject.org.
dick@malawiproject.org, and Malawi again is M-A-L-A-W-I.
Yes.
Well, Dick, I've enjoyed our time together, and I've enjoyed our conversation. I thank you for your efforts on behalf of the people of Malawi and the indirect benefit the people of this country enjoy because of your efforts, and I wish you well, and I welcome you to the city of Lebanon.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Our guest has been Dick Stevens, the principal, along with his wife, Susie, of the Malawi Project. Go online, take a look at the information, see the pictures, and learn about that country and what they're doing for the benefit of those people, and you'll be impressed. I do not know who our guest will be next week on What's Up Boone County. We'll have another person in to talk about the goings-on in our community. Hope you have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week on What's Up Boone County.